Today's scripture reading comes from John chapter 15, verses 9 through 11. Listen now to the word of God. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And I will pray before we go into our message today, Jesus, our joy. Let's pray. God, would you open up our hearts, would you open up our ears that we may receive your word? Lord, that we don't want to just hear it, we don't want to just learn something from it, but Lord, we want the word to take deep root inside of our hearts so that as we take it back into our homes, back into our communities, Lord, that we are able to live the word that you give to us. Lord, as we think about who you are, what you've done for us, all the ways in which you affect our lives, Lord, we want to be changed and moved by that. We don't want to be the same person that we were when we entered into this place. But Lord, as we leave, may we take a part of your spirit with us, and may we be completely moved and changed by your word. Lord, your word is reliable. It's trustworthy. It's something that we can stand upon. So Lord, we will cling to it. Even though the world around us changes, even though we change, even though things around us are fleeting, your word remains. So Lord, we pray that it would become our foundation and that you would really bless us to live our lives as people who follow your word. We thank you, God. We trust in you and all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today's message centers around the idea of joy. And a lot of times, I think joy, it gets kind of confused with happiness. And I think one of the things that I would like to suggest to you is that joy is more than just an emotion. It's more than just feeling happy in a certain moment. And so we're going to try to investigate this idea of joy. How do we stay joyful? How can we rejoice always? How can we have this joy inside of our heart that doesn't leave? And if those things become difficult for us to understand, we need to turn to God's word. We need to turn to the teaching of Jesus Christ. And so one of the questions that I need to ask you is, in your life, what are the main sources of joy? Where do you find the most joy in your own life? You know, aside from the Christian answer, the Sunday school answer of Jesus, you know, that's what my youth group kids say all the time. If I ask them a question like that, they know what the right answer is. So if I say, what's your source of joy? They go, Jesus. And I go, okay, what are the real sources of joy in your life that you experience weekly? And then, of course, different answers will come out. Among youth group students, you'll hear things like, oh, I got 100 on my test. And, oh, you know, my family is my source of joy. You know, like for me, in simple terms, when I look back on my life, I used to think, you know, like the source of joy used to be really silly. It used to be really small things. And one of the most joyful times in my life was in 1996. And it was when the Yankees won the World Series. And I remember I was sitting in my cousin's home. I remember where I was sitting exactly. I remember the color of the couch. I remember everything about that experience. And I remember once that happened, I ran up and down the stairs in their house. And I didn't even know what I was doing or why I was doing it, but I was just screaming. I was like stomping my feet. I was clapping my hands, running up and down the stairs. And I was like, this is the most joyful moment in my life. And I really declared that. And of course, that joy was fleeting. It didn't last forever. It's not something that I can stand upon every day. You know, when I'm going through a difficult time in my life these days, I don't go back, oh, but you know, that one time in 1996, the Yankees won the World Series, so I should be joyful right now. No, that's not a permanent source of joy. It's not something that lasts. In fact, to continue that story, I got into an argument with my parents the very next day. And immediately that joy was taken away. It was stolen away. I said, where is that joy now? You know, as I was angry, as I was frustrated and disappointed with my parents, where was that joy? A lot of times, the source of our joy while we live in this world, it's not permanent. It doesn't last. It doesn't stand up to our emotion. It doesn't stand up to our expectations. A lot of times, our sources of joy, it's not really a well that is everlasting. It's not one that can really pump out joy to overcome any circumstance. But perhaps that's something that we need to learn to understand as Christians, that joy in Christ can be permanent, that it is everlasting. You know, I think one of the things that I really didn't understand, and actually Reverend Lee, he preached on this and he opened up this verse very well during the Thanksgiving service. But when I was young and when I was a youth member in church and sitting there listening to pastors preach, and they would preach, you know, rejoice always. I can't rejoice always. I barely rejoice even when I'm in church. I barely rejoice even in my moments of happiness. How can you rejoice always? You know, perhaps the key is in what Jesus teaches in this passage today, John 15, verses 9 through 11. And we're going to go into that. We're going to investigate that a little bit. But what are your sources of joy? You know, take a moment of time to think about some things that make you joyful. You know, some of the people around you, some of the things that may happen in your life, maybe a promotion, you know, maybe a big bonus at the end of the year, you know, the family around you, you know, maybe grandkids or nieces, nephews. I'm going to share a story about that later, but think about the sources of joy that you have. And I hope that in your lives, and I hope that as followers and believers of Christ, whenever we get asked that question, right away, it would be that we are Christ's, that we are in Christ, that we are in Christ's love, that we receive his love. So what does it mean, really, to be joyful? It's kind of a tricky teaching that Jesus gives to us, but it's fairly clear. And I think that's a blessing to us because potentially we haven't been living our lives this way. If we face joy and we see joy or we think of joy only as an emotion, if we make it synonymous with happiness or feeling us a good way in a certain given moment, then we might miss the point. Then we might search for it in the wrong places. Then we may go about procuring joy in the wrong way. But here's what Jesus says. And when I don't know something, when I'm not sure how to do something, the only person I can listen to is Jesus. I don't know based on my own wisdom or based on my own experience. So I want to listen to what Jesus says. And what he says in John 15, verses 9 through 11 is this. He says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love." And he says, "I told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." So Jesus is giving us kind of the blueprint for the joy to be a little bit more permanent. He's giving us the blueprint for the joy to be complete. Not incomplete joy, not just some small fragments of joy that you think will last forever, but he's saying these things so that our joy may be complete. So what is his command? What is he teaching us? The first thing that I wanted to highlight is this. One of the sources of joy that we should have, that we should learn from this passage, is that he says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." You see, that is one of the sources of joy that we should always be able to rely on, that we should always be able to think back on, that we can always reflect on. The Father has loved, the way the Father loved me, that's the way that I love you. And that love that the Father had for, that God had for Jesus, it wasn't some incomplete love. It wasn't some conditional love. It wasn't here one day and then gone the next. He says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." So even if there's nothing to be joyful about in your life, even if you look and you think about all the things and I said, "Oh, what are the sources of joy?" And you say, "Nothing. I have no source of joy in my life." At least think about the love that Jesus Christ has for you. At least think about the way that he loves you. The Father has loved me, the way the Father loved me, that relationship, that close relationship between God and Son, between Father and Son, That's the love that Christ loves us with. But the next thing that he says is, but you remain in that love. You know, the way to stay joyful, the way to rejoice always, is to remain in the love of Jesus Christ. If you just sit there, if you just stay there, you're a joyful person. You're going to have joy inside of your heart if you just remain inside Jesus' love. And that love is so overwhelming. And as we sang about today, in some ways, the way that we would describe it, it's so shocking. It's so different that we would call it reckless, that it wouldn't really make sense to us. But that's the sort of love that he loves us with that intensity. And for us to find joy, joy that will last, we have to remain inside of that love. We have to receive that love. We have to walk with that love every day of our lives. You know, that 1996 World Series, it was so exciting for me as a young kid. But that's not nearly as exciting as being loved by Jesus Christ. To have that love remain, to remain inside of that love, to know that despite my mistakes, despite my shortcomings, despite my humanness, that that love still is just offered to me freely. It's not something that I've earned. It's not something that I deserve. And when I think about that, man, that fills my heart with joy. It goes beyond my circumstances. It goes beyond what's good in my life or what I need or what I'm lacking. That's the type of joy that I find when I think about a Christ, when I think about a Lord who would love me with that sort of intensity. And then he also continues on with the lesson and he says, but there's a way to stay in the love. There's a way to stay inside of this love. There's a way to remain in this love. And I think this part is the one that we kind of mess up a little bit. I think we forget about this part sometimes. He says, as I have kept my Father's commands, you too have to keep my command. That's the way to remain in my love. I know a lot of times we don't like to follow exactly the instruction. We don't like to obey. And in some ways, the most comfortable life for us would be if God filled us with joy, if he let us remain in his love, but we got to do it on our terms. Now, I want to live my life. Can you just bless the life that I want to live? And that was my attitude when I was very immature in my faith. When I was very young in my faith, I thought, you know, God, if you love me so much, you'll let me live the life that I want to live. You'll let me make the rules, and then you'll still bless me. You'll still love me. You'll still take care of me through the way. But he says this. He says, remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. And one of the things that we need to think about is, are we living in the love of Jesus Christ? Have we received his love fully? And maybe if we haven't, it's because we're not walking with him. We're not following his commands. We're not living for him. We're not living with him. We just kind of have him there as kind of an extracurricular activity sometimes. Sometimes we push Jesus aside and we say, you know, you're my friend, but you're not an authority in my life. Why don't you bless the things that I want you to bless? We have to remember, Jesus Christ, of course, he loves us. Of course, he's our friend, but he's also our Lord. And what he says, what he commands, what he teaches us, we need to live by. So maybe in some ways, that joy is found in following Christ's words. When you live, in a lot of ways, we think we find joy when we live according to what we want to do. Sometimes that feels like joy. But that's not real. That doesn't last. That's not permanent. It might bring you a temporary feeling of satisfaction. It might itch. It might scratch an itch. But that's not something that's permanent. For Christians, for believers, to find joy that is complete, to find joy that is permanent, to find joy that is real, that is true, we need to walk in Jesus' words. We need to follow his commands. That is how we can remain in his love. It seems very clear to me that if you are familiar with this passage, then you know that the next flow the flow of this teaching. He goes, you have to follow my commands to remain in my love. And then in verse 12, he says this. This is my command. He's making it very clear. He's making it very simple. In some ways, you know, he's teaching his disciples, and sometimes they don't get it. So he's making it very clear for them. He says, this is my command. Love each other as I have loved you. So the first thing that he does is he says, as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. But the next step of this, the next command in this is love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. It's John 15:12-14. How do we stay joyful? How do we remain in God's love? How do we keep God's command? By loving one another. That's a source of joy. That's something that the church needs. That's something that every single person in the body of Christ needs. A lot of times we look for our own joy. We try to create our joy. We try to turn to things that might bring us a feeling of joy. That's not joy. We don't create it just by looking for worldly things. We don't get it from things that, you know, the world chases. Jesus commands us to live a life that's a little bit different. He reminds us of important key facts. And these are the things that we need to seek after in order to receive the love of Christ, in order to remain in the love of Christ, in order to feel the joy of being within Christ's love. You see, the source of joy, it's found in Christ. But the way of expressing it, the way that we practice it, the way that we can kind of build it up within our church is to love one another. Joy is found in loving the person to the left and to the right of you. Joy is not really tied to circumstance. It doesn't have to be a fleeting feeling. It doesn't have to be one part of a roller coaster ride of emotions. When you remain in Christ's love, you receive Christ's love, then that joy is constant, it's continuous. And to remain in this love, we fulfill the command to love one another. We find joy in the people around us, the body of Christ, the people that he allows us to worship together with, the families, the friends, the communities, the neighbors that he's placed in your life, in loving each other the way that Christ loved us. And there's joy in that. And if you don't feel joy inside of your heart, then I really encourage you to turn to this passage. He says, I told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now this Christmas, I want complete joy. I want Christ's joy in my heart. And I'm gonna try to find ways to love others. I'm gonna try to find ways to receive that love, to remain in that love, to be reminded that it's a love that's not based on contingencies. Even though he says you have to follow my commands, it's not you will follow my command and that's the condition for my love. No, he's teaching us how to stay in it. He's teaching us the way to remain in the love of Christ. Joy is found in remaining in Christ's love. And you remain in Christ's love by following his commands. And what does he command? Love one another. The way that Christ loved us, we are to love one another. And this Christmas season, this Advent season, as we await to celebrate the birth of Christ, you know, all the hope that he brought into this world, the peace that he brought into this world, the joy that he brought into this world. It's not just because Christmas is a happy time. It's not just because of Christmas lights. It's not just because we're going to receive gifts or we're going to see smiles on the faces of the people that we give gifts to. But this Christmas season, as we think about a Lord who would come into this world to live with us, to die for us, to forgive us, to count us as family, to invite us into his home in heaven, may that fill your hearts with joy. And as you ponder, as you investigate, as you study, as you reflect on and meditate on this passage, may your Christmas season be full of joy. I'll end with this. Part of the joy that I have in my life, of course, I know Judy's going to make a comment about this later, but I always think about my niece when I think about joy. And that's a human relationship. She's 16 months now, and she's starting to walk on her own, and she talks up a storm. It's a little bit worrisome because you have to watch what you say around her, because she will repeat every word in her own version sometimes. But I get the great blessing to see my niece grow up. I get to see her through the week. I get to watch her, and in these days, I really believe that my niece actually kind of likes me. And so I get a chance to be around her. And the joy that I feel inside of my heart, it's one that I can't really explain well. I can't really put it into words. But I realize, you know, it doesn't matter if my niece messes up. It doesn't matter if she welcomes me, or if she cries when I get there, or she acts annoyed. I just love her. And when I'm around her, I'm just so happy. You should see my face when I'm around my niece. You know, there's nothing that she can do wrong in my eyes, even when she is doing things wrong. But that's joy. And that's just human joy. And it's because I love my niece. And it's because I'm able to share that love that Christ gave to me. I say this in my sermons sometimes, but in those 16 months that my niece has been on this earth, I've learned more about Christ's love through that experience than I think all my years in seminary, than all my years maybe in Sunday school and youth group. Just being there and watching her and having that sort of love for her and understanding, man, that's this times a million. This times infinity is the way that God loves me, that Christ loves me. You know, and receiving that love, and it's been really healing for me. It's been really a joyful time for me. It's been a time in which I really start to understand God's love. And I pray that in your human relationships, when you start loving the people around you, your children, you know, your significant other, your church members, that you would be able to experience that intense joy and that intense happiness, that intense feeling of fulfillment in your life as well. Because you know that you are doing God's command. You are doing what Jesus commanded us to do, to love each other the way that he loved us. And I pray that you would be able to practice that over and over again this Christmas season. Christ's joy in us, it's security, because we know that we can count on it. It's true joy. It's lasting joy. It's complete joy. And I bless you with that this Christmas season. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. The love that was displayed for us on the cross, that you sent your son into this world. Lord, that you brought light into the darkness. And so this Christmas season, Lord, as we reflect on Christ Jesus, may we be full of hope. May we have peace in our hearts. May we be filled with joy as we think about who you are, what you've done for us, what you're going to continue to do. Lord, we thank you, God. May your word really take deep root into our hearts, and may we live it. May we really be affected by it. We thank you, God, and all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.